Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to begin there at verse 2, where it says, Joshua said to all the people. And I'll let you read the rest of that, but I just want to kind of underline that in our thoughts here together as we look into this passage of Scripture. It was said to all the people, and I think that means me as well, and you all. And then in verse 14, he says, Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away all the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We've been looking at the subject of courage, and courageous faith is what I'm calling this, because I think Joshua embodies that perhaps more than any other character in the Bible. Here is this leader that God raised up to take the Israelites into the promised land. Moses was dead, and he passed the responsibility on to Joshua, but God called him, I think, for this very unique calling. And the name Joshua is really the same as Jesus. So it means Savior. And I think of how Jesus is the captain of our salvation, how He is the courageous one who faced the cross for all of us. And I just can't imagine anyone more courageous than Jesus. Well, I think Joshua is really a type, if you will, of Christ in the Old Testament. So there are lessons here for us that I want us just to listen to the words of Joshua here, to apply them to our lives. Think of how they might apply as well, because I think this is the Sunday before Valentine's Day, so we're kind of thinking of human love and perhaps the family as an embodiment of that love as well. So we're going to look at how we can have courageous faith in a family of faith. So we can choose cowardice or courage in the life of faith. And Joshua, again, is an example of courageous faith. And that courage extended to his family life. He wasn't just a father or a husband who didn't really live out his faith at home. If what he said here was really true, and it seemed to be, because no one contradicted him. So I think he was true to his commitment here. So family life needs courage. And I'm thinking of the Christian family, the family of faith, the family of the faith that has been passed down to us through Joshua and the Old Testament, and now the New Testament, and Christ, of course, as the author of the Scriptures. He said, these are those things which speak of Him. So we're going to think about allegiances, courage, how Joshua's courage has lessons for our turbulent times. So I want us to just look at the passage of Scripture here that we have before us. Again, the words there of Joshua, where it says he said these things to all the people, I suggest to me that this is for me too. That God has allowed me to listen in on this so that I might learn from it as well. So I trust that you will all join me in looking here at what God has to say. Joshua said further down, in the passage, verse 15, he said, If serving the Lord seems undesirable, choose for yourselves this day. So we're going to look at this scripture passage here. And first of all, the lesson of a choice. Choose for yourselves this day. Now that suggests, and the words here do to me, that this is a universal choice. That this is something that we must all be involved with. We must make that same choice. If we are going to be blessed as God wants to bless us and to be a blessing to others, it involves a choice for all of us. The hymn writer wrote these words, kind of quaint words, but I think very true words. He said, Once to every man, I think that could be person, and nation comes the moment to decide in the strife of truth with falsehood for the good or evil side, some great cause, some great decision, offering each the bloom or blight, and the choice goes by forever twixt that darkness and that light. So universal, urgent. Did you notice that Joshua said, choose this day? And when I came across those words again, I wondered, why did Joshua say you have to choose today? I mean, don't you just hate that when you got to make a choice today where you'd like to think about it? We who have come to faith in Jesus Christ know that that's so important because the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It's really the only time that God has given us. We don't know what the future holds. We know, I trust you do, the one who holds the future. But we're really only certain of one thing, is that we have this one moment of time where we must decide, are we going to follow God and His Word, or are we going to go our own way and just decide what we're going to do, you know, moment, you know, as the moment comes? Well, we know what usually happens when we do that. I think it's why God says that we must choose this day. And that choice, I would suggest, is also unalloyed. And I think what that means is that we're not to mix this choice with other things. It's an exclusive choice, in other words. Jesus said, for example, that we cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is money. So material things, we could say. You have to choose one or the other. You cannot choose to follow the ways of the world and follow Christ. Jesus said, follow me. Many times in the Scripture, He said that. So again, these are clear choices that we must make. I think it's so important in the family that we stand with Joshua and say, I'm going to make that choice for God and His Word. Because so much depends on what I choose. Influence, we're talking about here. A godly influence. A godly legacy that we leave to the generation that's to come. So I want to suggest a choice is here, but also a cause. And I take that from the words of Joshua here. Choose whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. The gods your forefathers served beyond the river. And I think that would be the gods of Egypt, or could mean the Jordan River. The gods of the wilderness maybe calls to mind the when Moses went up to the mountain, the people forgot about Moses and about God and began to worship a golden calf. Well, we don't usually worship golden calves today, but we have other things that I think because the human heart needs something to worship. We can often focus and fixate on the wrong gods. So I want us to just think about this a little more. There's an allegiance here that God is calling us to. Everyone serves somebody or something, whether himself or herself, some other god or the Lord. Love of the world certainly is a danger that I think we all can follow that god, that religion, worldliness, materialism, lusts of the things of this world, desires that are covetous. I mean, we could just think of many things that are pitfalls, allegiances that people give their lives for. As I was studying this, I couldn't help but think of Lot's wife, and I don't want to pick on Lot's wife. I know I do a lot, but could have been Lot's son or daughter. I mean, but it happened to be Lot's wife who apparently loved the world so much that God made her a fixture. Do you remember that story? She made her into a pillar of salt. I think it's a lesson for us not to love the world. The Bible, in fact, says, love not the world, neither the things that are in it. So I just want us to think about, what's my allegiance? What is the thing that I spend the most time thinking about and focusing my desires upon? Is it God or is it the things of this world? Now, I think it's why we meet together, one reason at least, why we meet together on a Sunday morning is because we need to regain that focus on the things of God and His Word. So I want to call us, as God's Word does here, to that allegiance to God and to Him alone. It doesn't mean that we can't love our family, incidentally. It doesn't mean that we can't love our husband or wife or our son or daughter or our brother and sister in the Lord. it'll give us that much more love if we will focus first on God and His plan for our lives and give our allegiance to Him. Pledge our allegiance, if you will, to Him. Allegiance, alternatives. Yes, there are many alternatives. The gods, did you notice? Will you serve me or will you serve the gods, plural? And that's a small g there, you'll notice. Your forefathers served beyond the river. Well, there are many alternatives today, of course. So wonderful that our God does not enforce His rule in our lives. I mean, He doesn't force Himself upon us. He wants us to choose. Isn't that suggested here in the words of this scripture here? That God wants us to choose Him. God is a humble God. God is a lowly-minded God. We think of Jesus as God in the flesh. And He said, I am lowly of mind, and you shall find in me rest for your souls. So I want us to just think about allegiances that we give our lives to, the alternatives sometimes that can be pitfalls for us, anything that takes the place of the Bible in our lives, and we're not reading the Bible daily, we're spending time reading the newspaper or following worldly advice. You know where that's going to lead us. So, alternatives, adherence. Adherence means that we stick to something. I think, again, that's suggested here, at least, in the words of the Scripture, whom you will serve. Whom you will serve. Whom you will serve and continue to serve. You are to choose. And that means that we are to make it a habit of our life. Paul his writings are so logical, I guess. He's a very smart man, but more than that, here is God's Word. Here is Scripture. And Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, don't you know that whom you offer yourselves to, or when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. So we're going to adhere to something or someone. Joshua said, I want to adhere to the Lord. And I here make that a public declaration. I hadn't made that one of my points here, but I think, isn't that a lesson for us? That, oh, you know, we say, oh, I don't want to brag. I don't want to say that publicly because I may not live up to it. I may fail. Well, I think sometimes it's the reason why we fail, frankly, is that we do not make that a public declaration, make a public vow, a public commitment, and make others hold us accountable to it. I'm suggesting that, but I think this is what the Scripture teaches. So I want you to think about that. Well, there's a choice, there's a cause here, but there's also a commitment. Joshua said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, did you think that maybe, Joshua, you don't have my household. You don't know the people that I have in my household. How can I enforce that? How can I possibly enforce that? I don't know that Joshua had a perfect family. I don't know that he was saying, we're the model family. We're the one that you are to model your lives after as families. I don't think Joshua meant that in a bragging way. Again, I think he was calling for accountability from God's people. Hold me accountable to this. But my desire, my commitment, is that me and my household will serve the Lord. And I think there are things that we can do. Certainly with those that are in our household that are eating food that we provide, that is, I'm speaking here to the parents, of course. We're providing a room, we're providing protection, and all these things. Don't we have a right to enforce rules, regulations? I think we do, as a family. I think it's what Joshua was saying here. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be faithful to God's house. We're going to be faithful in giving to the Lord. The Israelites were instructed to give a tenth. And we're going to be faithful in serving the Lord together. So it was a commitment. personal. Yes, Joshua said, as for me. He didn't start out saying, as for all of us, we're going to serve the Lord. No, he said, as for me and my household. So it involved him as well. He wasn't just going to send his family to the place of worship and stay home and mow the yard or whatever people then might have done. But no, he said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It was parental. And my house. Too many parents realize this too late. After their child has grown up in rebellion against God. And I know every child probably goes through that to some degree. Passive rebellion that's not, open rebellion. But I'm talking about, again, this setting a godly example. The Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he or she, he will not depart from it. I think it's a promise that we can claim. And so I think this is what Joshua was saying. This is my commitment. This is my commitment. And it's a parental commitment that I'm going to be faithful to that place where God has put me. I'm going to realize that my home and my family is my first responsibility. Too often, people that are in serving occupations or leading occupations, pastors, for example, missionaries, often neglect their own families. And so I think it calls for us to be that parental influence. Even those children who have grown, they need our counsel. They need our love. They need our acceptance. They need to know that they can always come to us and that we will pray for them, that we love them, and that nothing they do or neglect to do is going to change that love that we have for them. Because that's God's love. That's God the Father's love for us. So there's a personal commitment, a parental commitment, a purposeful commitment here. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You cannot slide into this commitment. You cannot evolve into it. It's why we need, I think, to stand with Joshua and say this, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.